A Triple M Footy special podcast.
The 9th of February 2021 will go down in history as the day that a 22-year-long chapter closed at Collingwood with the resignation, effective immediately, of longtime President Eddie Maguire. I'm Triple M Footy's Rudy Etzel, and I've got our gun reporter Tommy Brown on the line with me just to chat through what exactly has happened and how it's all come to this with Ed stepping down as President of the Pies. How are you, Tom?
Good afternoon, Rudy. Sensational scenes, really, here at the Collingwood Football Club this afternoon. Obviously, there was momentum building with the public letter from some Indigenous community leaders and sports people yesterday calling for his resignation, which was published overnight. There's obviously the bungled or botched press conference last week where there was some offence taken to Eddie's opening remarks in that press conference, and it had been building, obviously, since then. And obviously, there's the report into racism, which found systemic racism itself. But it culminated in pretty spectacular scenes this afternoon. Collingwood called a press conference at 4:15pm. Players filed into the room, the press conference room. Nathan Buckley was in the room. The new footy manager, Graham Wright, was there. The CEO of the club, Mark Anderson, was outside the room. And it was just startling scenes, really, because it wasn't on Eddie's terms at the end of the day. This is not how he wanted to go out. They wanted to organise a new president this year. And he wanted to see out some of these initiatives here at the Holden Centre or the Glasshouse. And Eddie, flanked by his very loyal wife, Carla, his two boys, Joe and Xander, and also his brother, Frank, were in the room as he announced his resignation as Collingwood president.
I try my best, and I don't always get it right, but I don't stop trying. But today, effective immediately, I step down from the presidency of the Collingwood Football Club. From the moment I became the president of the Collingwood Football Club on my 34th birthday back in 1998, my sole motivation was to heal, unite, inspire and drive a new social conscience, not just into this club, but sport and the community in general, and build an organisation that would be a place for opportunity for all people. I remind people that our recent review, inspired by Black Lives Matter, but part of a six-year journey of our Reconciliation Action Plan, was to look to what we need to do in the next 10 years, not the last. The report says, and I quote, that the Collingwood Football Club commissioned an independent review of its process of dealing with racism that reflects the realisation within the club that something fundamental needs to change. It needs to be noted and underlined, they said, that in undertaking this review, the club was unflinching in holding up a mirror to itself. It was a brave first step that few would have the courage to take and shows the seriousness with which the club takes this issue. The report does make the point that there have been systemic problems, which the authors explain means problems with our processes that saw our club react to incidents. It is why, in the first paragraph of my written statement last Monday, which I didn't read out in my spoken comments, but I'll say again, in the first paragraph of the written statement handed out and online, I quote again, "The board of the Collingwood Football Club commissioned the Do Better report for the right reasons. We can learn from our past. Collingwood is and will continue to be a wonderful club, but this should not stop us from striving to do better. The CFC Do Better report is an acknowledgement that our club, our game and our country have not always got it right. And for our part, we have always sought to do our best, but that hasn't always been good enough. And for that, we are sorry." The report also said, "If there is one thing that united almost every person we spoke to in this whole review, it was their commitment to the Collingwood Football Club and their desire to see it be the best version of itself. And that has been my role for the past 23 years. When I came to Collingwood, it was a club riven with rivalries, enmities and division. It has not been the case in my time. So I do not want any of this to cause rancour or factions. It's better then to fast track my leaving the club from the end of the year to now. I love Australian rules footy. I love that it is the most egalitarian of games. No matter the size, the shape, or any other subset of life, he or she with a Sharon is the most important person in the world when they've got it in their hands. I love my memories of Victoria Park the first time. And for the first time in my life, I felt part of a community. I love my memories of Victoria Park. I'm going to say it again. The first time I ever felt part of any community. That feeling must stay and grow for a new wave of immigrants, First Nation people, and all Australians who love the ethos of our game.
Now, in terms of the reasons that Eddie Lissity acknowledged that it was increasingly untenable for him to continue as the Collingwood president, in light of, the momentum that had been building, he noted the fact that it's particularly hard on Collingwood sponsors who are, you know, very hard taskmasters when it comes to this type of thing, and said, quote, that Collingwood needs some clear air, unquote, to progress. Eddie went through his legacy as Collingwood president, noting that the club, in his opinion, isn't racist, particularly in light of what Eddie described as his Indigenous initiatives when he started as Collingwood president. He went into some detail about what they were, and, at least for the moment, it sounds like he's stepping aside from football, and he went to at length to thank people in the football community, everyone from his coaches to his assistant coaches throughout the years, to the football managers, to his CEOs, and also some of the commissioners and AFL people that, reflected his tenure, because he had to list a long list, and it was generational because he's been here for 22 years. So not on Eddie's terms this afternoon, but simply startling scenes. Obviously, just to recap, there was the Do Better report, which Collingwood commissioned. There was the bungled press conference last week. There's been growing pressure from identities such as Iridia Lumumba, particularly on social media, and there's obviously been a campaign now directed at Collingwood sponsors. And it looks at the end of the day, look like, on a net basis, the board had obviously decided, in conjunction with Eddie, in recent days, it was better that he step aside effective immediately, Rudy.
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive wrap of what went on. Was it as much of a shock, do you think, inside the club as it was to those watching, because it seemed very, very sudden from the outside. It was just very much a notice from Collingwood that there's half an hour they're having a press conference for a major announcement, and then, of course, the jungle drums beat. Do you feel that the playing group were as surprised by this as the general public?
Yes, I do. I think that it obviously been building. The playing group released a very public letter of apology last week, which sort of rendered Eddie's position a little bit untenable. I mean, the fact that the players had to take time out of their week and initiate that, I think it was a surprise from a player perspective, certainly, Rudy.
Well, what does it mean now for the Pies going forward, Rudy, in the short term?
They haven't announced who the interim president will be. You'd expect it to be the vice president, Mark Corder, but I'm just working on that story now. In a short term, there's obviously going to be a tremendous power vacuum. Eddie was very much the Collingwood Football Club. Having said that, post the review which they had into the club, it did acknowledge that, I guess, Eddie had to take a little bit of a seat back and let people, carry out their functions. And I think in recent years in particular, you know, the club's been probably more independent of Eddie than it has been any time during his tenure. There was already a process in place to appoint, to locate and appoint a new president. There's going to be obviously a field of people you think that would go for that. Craig Kelly's been discussed, although he has got a son, Will, that plays at the club and is sort of on the fringe of the side, which makes it difficult. He also manages Nathan Buckley. Mark Corder, the vice president, has been discussed. Peter Murphy's been discussed. Having said all that, the club might want some fresh air. I mean, a lot of these board members have been on the board with Eddie during what's now a period with a bit of a mark next to it from a racism perspective, as per the findings of the report. And they might be keen to look elsewhere. But as Eddie said, in acknowledging the fact that he hadn't stepped aside for 22 or 23 years, it hasn't exactly been a Melbourne Cup field of willing participants. Well, there's certainly been willing participants, but not necessarily the right ones in terms of taking over. So it's going to be a difficult task and a difficult time for the club. And I guess the club will be hoping this sort of creates a bit of harmony. I mean, you can't help but think that some of the leaks from this report in recent weeks and some of the, concerted campaign by some aspects of the media and particularly on social media against Eddie, I think it would have had a potentially divisive effect. And the club will be hoping that this unites the club. But having said all that, the club's got some big decisions this year. They've got to decide on Nathan Buckley's contract, which you'd have to think is going to depend on the performance of the side in the first part of the year. They'll want to see the side performing well. Buck has had a good run at it now. So a lot of important decisions this year at a club now that doesn't have its traditional figurehead in charge. So it's going to be spectacular to see how it all unfolds.
Do you think that this makes Nathan Buckley more vulnerable? I know that there is a perception that Ed is was quite a big fan of Bucks.
I think Bucks has got broad support right across all aspects of the club. Having said that, someone's going to look at his contract through a fresh microscope. And I guess in that sense, it does make Bucks more vulnerable. I think the view will be there's no need to change coaches unless there's a reason to. I mean, if Collingwood come out at the start of the year and play good footy and there's a clear, I guess, continuation of their progress, you wouldn't think Bucks would be under pressure. Having said that, he's been here for a long time and this might represent the start of a new period. Eddie heavily backed Bucks last time, so there's no reason to think this would accentuate pressure on Bucks. Having said that, in a vacuum, if you like, of some uncertainty now, I guess it does increase pressure on Bucks, and I don't think there's any plan from the club at this stage to re-sign Bucks anytime soon. So I think the story's just going to get bigger and bigger and more significant as time goes on. Eddie was a big supporter of Bucks. There's no doubt about it, but that decision now and that contract negotiation will be left to others in charge. Graham Wright's taken over as the footy manager. He's very capable, so I guess he'll report to the board.
Yep, that all makes sense. I think, yeah, it's a big day in footy, isn't it, really? Thanks heaps for that, Tommy. Really good rundown of what happened today and I guess the fallout's really starting, so hopefully we'll be able to chat to you more about that in the coming weeks, and I'm sure that you'll have more to say on Channel 7 tonight.
Look forward to it. Cheers, mate.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.